The Bible, page 1206, 1206. Romans 12. We'll be reading just the first two verses. We'll read these verses in unison, and shall we stand? All of us standing for the reading of the Word of God. Okay, let's read. Ready? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And let's pray. Father, we thank you that we're here tonight. Thank you for this place. It's very important to so many of us. We look forward to being here. We actually anticipate with holy anticipation the services because it's so meaningful and so helpful to be here. And our Christian lives have been transformed because of the power of thy word, the preaching. We're thankful for it. We pray that you bless tonight in the service and our preacher. Help us to listen intently. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the book. I pray you to help me as I preach about it, from it, of it, with it, and help the people as they listen. May something be done tonight that will help us to be, as the song so beautifully was sung, like Jesus. In His name, amen. We think about being like Jesus, and this is not my sermon, but we think about normally some soft, loving, and that's true. He was a soft, loving person. But you cannot be with like Jesus unless you do what John 14:12 says. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall do also. The works that I do, work, sweat, work that I do, shall he do also. And I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, and this is a very unusual title, the worship service. The worship service. I want you to listen to me very carefully as I speak on the worship service. The first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, as I so often have said, deal with the great doctrines of salvation, the doctrine of justification, the doctrine of glorification, the doctrine of imputation, the doctrine of propitiation, the doctrine of sanctification, as we taught here on Wednesday nights for so many months several years ago. So the first 11 chapters of Romans deal with the great doctrines pertaining to your salvation and mine. The last 5 chapters of Romans deal with the practical Christian life, how to live the Christian life. They deal with such subjects as unselfishness, hard work, loving your enemies, being law-abiding citizens, being honest, paying your debts, strengthening the weak, clean living, getting along with each other, friendliness, being good wives, good husbands, obeying your parents. These are the practical doctrines that are mentioned in Romans chapter 12, the last 5 chapters of the book, and the first 11 chapters deal with the great doctrines of salvation. Now, what the teaching is this? This pivotal verse in Romans 12:1. This pivotal verse looks back to the doctrines of salvation. And says, because of these wonderful, wonderful doctrines, we ought to then do what is said to do in Romans chapter 12 through 16. Now, what God is saying is this. He's saying, out of gratitude for salvation, we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice and pay our debts and be clean and all of that. And because of propitiation, we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And because of sanctification, we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And because of justification, we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And because of glorification, we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, he is putting an argument here and saying because of all the wonderful things about the great salvation, so great salvation that we have, because of that, we ought to do those things. I mentioned a while ago, be unselfish, hard work, loving your enemies, law-abiding citizens, honest, paying your debts, strengthening the weak, clean living, getting along with each other, being friendly, being good wives, good husbands, obedient children. All of those things we're supposed to do out of gratitude for the great doctrines of salvation mentioned in chapters 1 through 11. Now follow me carefully. Now this living in chapter 12 through 16 is called presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. God's not concerned about a bunch of animals offered on the altar right now. The Lamb of God has come. The final offering that all the others pointed to has come. And God's not concerned about that anymore. God wants your bodies. I've often said I'd love to be a female just for a while. If I were a female, I'd like to be a beautiful female. I'd like to be in love with a handsome man. I'd like to have long blonde hair and blue eyes and have a real southern accent. The other day I was listening to a couple of Yankees talking on the radio. They were news anchor men talking radio. And one of them said, if you had one wish that you could give, you could have granted, you could rub a genie and have one wish, what would that wish be? And this northern announcer said, I would wish that every woman could have a southern accent. Isn't that strange? Sorry about you Yankees, you just ain't got it, that's all. But I've often thought I'd like to be have long blonde hair with blue eyes, and I'd like to be beside my sweethearts in a swing somewhere on the front porch in the summertime, and I'd like for him to look at me in my blue eyes as my hair was blowing gently in the wind, and I'd like for him to say to me, I love you, Jacqueline. And I'd like to say to him, I love you too. Then we'd continue to swing as he'd see the reflection of the stars in my blue eyes. And as my long blonde hair is flowing gently in the summer breeze, if it ever comes, I'd like for him to say, Jacqueline, would you marry me? And I'd like to look at him, and I'd like to say to him, as we swing in the yard, I'd like to say to him, how much do you love me? He would look at me, and he would say to me, Jacqueline, I love you so much, I would die for you. Would you be my wife? I would look at him through my blue eyes with love in my heart and say, no, I wouldn't marry you. I don't want a corpse. I want somebody to live for me. I don't want anybody dying for me. And that's what God wants. Well, I love Jesus enough to die for him. That's not what he wants you to do. He said, present your body a living sacrifice. Your dead carcass can't get anybody saved. Your dead carcass can't feed anybody that's hungry. Your dead carcass can't clothe anybody that's naked. God said, I want your bodies a living sacrifice. This presentation of our bodies, don't leave me now, I'll get to the sermon in a few hours, don't leave me now. This presentation of our bodies is called our reasonable service. It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, don't leave me because here's the sermon, not the end of it, but the beginning of it. The word reasonable here is an amazing word, and it's the word which I call your attention tonight. The word reasonable here is the word, if you look it up in the lexicon, you'll find that the word reasonable here means divine worship. Divine service, if you please. Actually, it means worship service. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, all these Old Testament, these doctrines of the first 11 chapters of Romans, I beseech you because of salvation. I beseech you because of justification. I beseech you because of sanctification. I beseech you because of glorification. I beseech you because of propitiation that you present your body as a living sacrifice, which is your worship service. That's what it says. That's what it means. You can check it. Which is your worship service. So what is our worship service? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, by the way, you'll see signs on front of the churches. Worship service at 11 o'clock Sunday morning. I saw one out near where we live at Southside Christian Church. And it's a disgrace to have a sign like that. I don't care where it is or who it is or if you've got an uncle that's pastor out there, you ought to get right with God. Sign says, contemporary worship at 9 o'clock. That means all this wiggling and all that kind of stuff. That means the hippies come to worship at 9 o'clock. Brother, we used to have a dog named Fritz. Every time one of our girls would play the piano, the dog would go, ooh! and sing while they played the piano. I could get down here and play da 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 da, da and Fritz would sing. Fritz is worshiping as much as that's called that's worship. But they say worship service, contemporary worship at 9 o'clock, and then regular worship service at 10:15 or 11 o'clock. And you see signs out in front of churches, worship service. I'd like to know who they're serving. Worship service. The word service. This word here, which is your reasonable service, says present your bodies a living sacrifice. What does that mean? That means your worship service is doing what's in chapters 12 through 16. That's what it means. So that is your worship service. Your worship is serving God. Your worship service is serving God. And how do we serve God? It says that as much as you've done it, Jesus said, as much as you've done with the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So worship, the worship service is doing what's listed in chapters 12 through 16. Worship service is service. It's not a meeting of people. It's a service. It's serving. Worship service is unselfishness. Worship service is hard work. Worship service is loving your enemies. Worship service is being law-abiding citizens. Worship service is being honest. Worship service is paying your debts. Worship service is strengthening the weak. Worship service is clean living. Worship service is getting along with each other. Worship service is being friendly. Worship service is being a good wife. A worship service is being a good husband. A worship service is being obedient children. All of these things are worship services, if you please. So when God says, because of all these great doctrines in chapters 1 through 11, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your worship service. What is your worship service? Your body is a living sacrifice. Then he goes on to describe what being a living sacrifice is. It's the doing the things in chapters 12 through 16. So your worship, you can worship outside the church as well as inside the church. The truth is, you can worship better outside the church than you can inside the church. And the real truth is, you can't worship real well inside the church. You can't have a worship service inside the church. Service is serving. Service is doing what chapters 12 through 16 say. I'm talking about worship service. I don't know where they got the idea. A bunch of folks get together and sing a few songs, and some guy in a nightgown gets up and says a few, gives a mass, and that's a worship service. Who's serving? I mean, you have a few chants, that's not serving. Sing an anthem, that's not. Who's serving? A worship service is done outside the church and not inside the church. I was on the airplane the other day, and I was sitting beside a Seventh-day Adventist. And he looked at me and he said, when do you have your worship service? I said, usually on Saturday. He said, well, that's we have our worship services. I said, most of our worship services are on Saturday. We have some on Monday, some on Tuesday, some on Wednesday, some on Thursday, some on Friday, some on Saturday, or some on Sunday. But most of our worship service is done on Saturday. He says, you must be a Seventh-day Baptist. I said, yep, that's exactly what I am. You worship God by feeding poor people. You worship God by clothing naked people. You worship God by telling unsaved people how to go to heaven and escape the fires of hell. You worship God by visiting a rest home. You worship God by going to a hospital. You worship God by preaching in a jailhouse. You worship God by going to the halt, the maimed, the blind. You worship God by helping the orphans. You worship God by helping the widows. You worship God by helping the afflicted. Worship is not some kind of a ethereal kind of a service where a bunch of backsliders get together on Sunday and look up and say, we think you're up there. Hi. Now we'll go out and get drunk after this afternoon. I'll go out and watch a ball game this afternoon. I'll go out to the ball game this afternoon. See you next week. We'll come back and give you an hour. Look up and say, we think you're up there. That's not worship at all. Worship service is serving God. And by serving God, but the woman at Sychar's well, she said, you Jews worship in Jerusalem. We worship in Mount Gerizim. Jesus said, nobody worships either place. He said, he's saying the temple is no place. Your temple here on Mount Gerizim is no place to worship. And my temple, the temple in Jerusalem, is no place to worship. He said, you worship God in spirit and truth. What does that mean? You worship God by obeying the truth and preaching the truth and teaching the truth. That's what worship service is all about. Well, you say, Brother Howes, then what's going on right now? Let me tell you what's going on right now. This is our huddle. In a football game, you have a huddle. The quarterback calls the plays and said, we're going to run this play. Or the coach sends one in. Says, this is the play we're going to run. Then you get out of the huddle and go out and run the play. But the game's not won in the huddle. You don't get any points for a good huddle. So we come together every Sunday morning, have our huddle and say, these are the plays we're going to run next week. This is the huddle. This is not the game. And this is not worship. It's our huddle. We're going to go out to the jails next week and worship. We're going to go out to the hospitals and worship. We're going to go out to rest homes and worship. We're going to go out to the poor and worship. We're going to go out to bus routes and worship. We're going to go out to the fallen and worship. We're going to go out to the jailhouse and worship. That's what worship service is. And this is the huddle. So you worship God when you put in a hard day's work. It is your worship service. Romans 12:1 says, you worship God when you do those things mentioned in chapters 12 through 16. So you worship God when you pay your debts on time. You worship God when you keep the speed limit. Oh. And obey other laws also. You worship God when you pay your taxes. Boy, I don't want to worship much. You worship God when you submit to your own husband. You worship God when you love your wife. You worship God when you love your parents. You worship God when you feed the hungry. You worship God when you buy clothing for the cold. You worship God when you go soul winning. You worship God when you work a bus route. You worship God when you care for the aged. You worship God when you visit a hospital. You worship God when you comfort the bereaved. You worship God when you're friendly to strangers. You worship God when you're honest in your financial dealings. You worship God when you turn off the movie and the rock music. You worship God when you dress modestly and scripturally. You worship God when you bless those that curse you. You worship God when you pray for those that despitefully use you. You worship God when you render good for evil. You worship God when you turn the other cheek. All these things are mentioned in Romans chapters 12 through 16. These are your worship service, the Bible says. You worship God when you get along with others. You worship God when you obey the law. You worship God when you strengthen the weak. You worship God when you lift the fallen. You worship God when you use courtesy. You worship God when you lead clean lives. You worship God when you build a good house if you're a carpenter. You worship God when you put in a good day's pay for a good day's work. These are things mentioned in Romans chapter 12 through 16. You worship God by driving a truck. You worship God by doing housework. You worship God by cooking a good meal. You worship God by repairing a road. You worship God by working on a farm. You worship God by healing a patient. You worship God by having a bus route. You worship God by driving a bus on a bus route. You worship God by rearing your children right. You worship God by when you go visit in a public school ministry or the service men's ministry or have a jail service or go to the rest home. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, that is what a worship service is. And God in heaven looked down one day in the book of Amos and saw a bunch of people with their chants and their ritual. And God said, I despise your smelly feast. He said, your vials or your special music comes up as in my nostrils and it stinks to me. I can't stand your so-called formal worship service. What God is saying, go to church and have a huddle and call your play and get out yonder and have worship service all week long. So worship is not a sanctuary. Worship is not a pipe organ playing a concert. Worship is not some highbrow church singing an anthem. Worship's not some dignified reverend standing up and doing what he calls preaching a sermon. Worship is not some ritual. Worship is not mass. Worship is not Hanukkah. Worship is not Ash Wednesday, Good Friday service. Worship is not a sevenfold amen. Worship is not the singing of the Gloria Patri. Worship is not an Easter sunrise service. Worship is not a revival meeting. Worship is not a choir special at First Baptist Church of Hammond. Worship is not a public service at First Baptist Church of Hammond. Worship is not a sermon by Brother Hiles. Worship is not an offertory. Worship is not a call response. Worship is a worship service. It is feeding somebody who's hungry, lifting somebody who's fallen, helping somebody who's poor, going to the homeless people on the streets of Chicago and telling them there's a God in heaven that loves them, going out to truck drivers and tell them that there's a way to heaven. I'm saying worship service is exactly what it says. It is serving God, worshiping God by serving God, and you cannot worship God without serving God. You can't do it. All of that's the huddle. We came here 37 and a half years ago. Somebody came to me, one of the worship crowd. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before or Him. Amen. 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 That's what they call worship. God calls it feeding some poor kid that's hungry. God calls it going to the ghettos and lifting somebody who's fallen. God calls it going down to Lower Wacker Drive and telling somebody on Lower Wacker Drive sleeping on pavement in the wintertime that God loves them, putting a coat on their back and food in their body. That's what worship is. Worship is not a bunch of long-haired, high-brow church members coming to acknowledge someone there's a God in heaven. A worship service is that. It is service and worshiping by service. I was in Wichita, Kansas, preaching at a Sunday school convention. It was held at they rented an auditorium of a Wesleyan church or a Nazarene, I've forgotten. I walked up, sat down, I was the main speaker. Had a table right here. Had a candle, three candles, a big candle in the middle, a little candle on each side. Way over here in the corner, they had a pulpit. Way over here, up there, had a pulpit. And way over there, had another pulpit. They introduced me, and I stood up over here to preach. I didn't feel at home. Brother, the pulpit ought to be the center focal point of every church in America. I tried to preach for about 10 minutes. And I said, folks, you just sit still. I walked over, picked up those candles, and tossed them over here. I pulled that table and put it over here in the corner, walked over and got that pulpit, put it right here in the middle, and preached the devil out of it. Somebody stood up and shouted, "You've ruined our worship center." I went over to the window over here on this side. I pointed out yonder to Wichita, Kansas. I said, "There is your worship center. This is a bunch of candles representing the Trinity that you light and burn on Sunday while somebody over there does what he calls preaching, which is nothing more than a second-class lecture, a book review. And brother, that's not worship. Worship is when you get in the huddle and we say, we've got to go out and feed the hungry and clothe the naked and help the poor and visit the orphans and visit the widows and go to the rest homes and go to the hospitals. It's time the churches in America decided to get back to worship services." I visited the home of a visitor in our church. They said, "We're not coming back because your church is not worshipful." I said, "Oh, yes, it is. We worship every day. We worship on bus routes. We worship in rescue missions. We worship in jails. We worship in rest homes. We worship in hospitals. We worship in homes of the deaf. We worship in homes of the blind. We worship in homes of the Spanish people. We worship in the homes of the educable slow, the retarded children, and retarded adults. We worship in Hammond Baptist schools. We worship in the public school student ministry. We worship in the City Baptist School. We worship at Great Lakes. We worship at the Naval Base. We worship at truck stops. And brother, I don't care who you are, you're not worshiping God when you come to a church and have a little service and look up and say, "We know you're there." From Greenland's icy mountains. I went to one of those churches one time, and the first song they sang was "How Tedious and Tasteless the Hours." And I said, "Amen." I know what some of you visitors are saying. This is just not my taste. If it's not your taste, why don't you, if you like what you have so much, why don't you have some more on Sunday night? How come you're here tonight instead of your church? I'll tell you why. We don't like your worship service, and neither do you. If you did, you'd have one on Sunday night, come back on Wednesday night. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, America's dying tonight for old-fashioned, real, pure, genuine serving God. You have your little false worship for 1 hour a week. We have our true worship all week. So a sign. Enter to worship, leave to serve. I wanted to get a paintbrush and change it to enter to huddle, leave to worship by serving. Worship is not some dress-wearing pope sticking out his big toe for you to kiss. Worship is not some gown-wearing archbishop conducting mass. Worship is not a group of socialites Sitting down their wine glasses for a while, long enough to ask God to bless their wicked lives and acknowledge there's a God up in heaven. Worship is not a kimono-wearing Bob Robert shooter telling everybody to think positively. Worship is not an anthem-singing choir who never tells a sinner how to escape hell. Worship is not a dusty theologian making out the order of service for a bunch of worldlings. And worship is not a charismatic preacher with his hand on somebody's head making him fall down with a counterfeit kind of Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, there are too many hungry people for us not to worship, have worship services in feeding the hungry. There's a lost world out there, like our brother said a while ago, and somebody's got to go out and worship God, not by chance, and not by ritual, and not by sevenfold amens, but by doing what God said worship service really is. I'll tell you what worship is. Worship is that little couple who was here a while ago speaking. Worship is a David Long and his dear wife leaving the halls of Hiles Anderson College and going to Nigeria and for 7.5 years not even having a car. For 2.5 or 3.5 years having no convince at all. And worship is when they got a motorcycle after 3.5 years on the fields. Worship is when she's expecting a baby. It has no way to get to the hospital except getting on the backside of a motorcycle. That's worship. Worship is going to Nigeria and going to a town of 100,000 people. You don't know a single person and having services in your home, having 9 people show up the first service and giving your life for God on the fallen field to tell a dark world there is a way to heaven. Jesus saves. That's what worship is. Worship is the Jeff and Joy Ryder in the jungles of New Guinea with savage people. Don't even know the basic niceties of life. Just a few years away from being cannibals. Many of them just wearing clothes and haven't worn clothes, but just for a while. Worship is going back and building your own house. Killing animals for your own food. Raising your own garden. Not chopping down trees and building your own house and building your own water system and living in the jungles out there so people that have never heard can hear and sitting there by the hour learning their language so you can talk to them, so you can present to them the story of Jesus Christ, how they can go to heaven and walk down golden streets forever. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what worship is. Worship is a Hal Zanderson young lady getting up at 4 o'clock on Saturday morning, getting in an old rickety bus. It's 20 degrees and snowing in Chicago. She walks up and down the streets of Chicago with her hair being snowed on, her hair falling, and her nice clothes becoming messy, and goes from apartment house to apartment house to tell fallen children who live in ghettos that there's a God in heaven who loves them, and spends hour after hour after hour after hour after hour. That's what worship is. You can have your big bankers and mayors and city councilmen that go to their churches for a mass, and some come on away and preacher stands up and gives some little ritual, and they walk out with a sweet look on their face. We've been to worship service. You've not been to worship service. Joy and Jeff Ryder have been to worship service. Worship service is a Martin Evans dying with cancer but keeps on going. Doctor says she's got a year to live. 6 months ago, goes to her class and teaches her class in Hal Zanderson College. Goes and speaks to ladies groups, conducts ladies spectaculars, and is planning one for this fall. I'm saying that's what worship service is. Worship service is a Pam Hibbert. I'll never be a wife, never mother a child, never have a home with a husband and children like most young ladies do, giving her life for those bus kids. Seeing to it there is a City Baptist school, working on penury wages, but keeps on going. That's what worship service is all about. Worship service is a First Baptist Church man. I'm thinking now of an engineer going to the jails, preaching the gospel, telling those men there's a God in heaven that loves them. Worship is a Dr. Pete Cowling with his PhD degree, not having some ashes put on his head on Ash Wednesday, or going to some Union Thanksgiving service on Good Friday. It's a PhD going out there where the people are hungry and buying them food and clothes, naked and buying them clothes and lost, and telling them about Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, America needs some old-fashioned Bible-preaching churches who have worship services. And that's what it's all about. That's Bible. Because of salvation, because of justification, because of propitiation, because of sanctification, because of glorification, because of all those great doctrines in chapters 1 through 11, I want you to do these things in chapters 12 through 16. I want you to do what I said. I want you to live an unselfish life, work hard, love your enemies, be law-abiding citizens, be honest, pay your debt, strengthen the weak, win souls, clean lives, getting along with each other, being friendly, being a good wife, a good husband, obedient child, and all these things we've been talking about tonight. And God says that is your worship service. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by these mercies of God, that ye present your body as a living sacrifice, and this is what it is in chapters 12 through 16, which is your worship service. Ask a question. You been to any worship services lately? Oh, yes. I never miss a Sunday. This is a huddle. You been to worship services lately? Oh, yes. I come every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If that's all you do, you haven't been to a worship service. Now, you're stuck. You're stuck with this Catholic idea that came to us through the Protestants, or the babies of the Catholics, that on Sunday morning you come together and have a formal meeting, lay aside your wine bottles for a while, lay aside your skating rink, lay aside your dancing, lay aside your rock music, lay aside your soap operas, lay aside your movies that you watch on television, lay them all aside and come to church and sing, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." And God looks down and says, "Shut up. I hate
I despise your smelly fowls. They're a stink in my nostrils.
God said, if you want to see worship, go out on the bus route. Go up there to the naval base while these men are trying to reach these young men for God. Go out here on these e-bus routes. Go out here and work with these public school people. Let them know that God loves them. That's what worship service is. You say, Brother Howells, I just can't get used to that philosophy. Well, then you get you a Bible. And I'll double dog dare you to show me one worship service in this Bible. I came here 37 and a half years ago. My predecessor was a good man. He just never had been exposed to what I'm talking about tonight. Good man, honest man, decent man. I've never said a negative word about him in these 37 and a half years, and I won't. But he preached in striped breeches and a scissor-tail coat. I walked in that first Sunday morning. I walked in the door over there. The door was right here, but it was near the auditorium. There's a chairman of the flower committee was there. He put a boutonniere on my lapel. I don't like boutonnieres. Corsages are for women. I won't wear boutonnieres. But I wore one then. He put one. I took a step over. He put one on the assistant pastor. Stepped over, put one on the music director. Stepped over, put one on the next guy. We walked out. And we started singing. We sang the Gloria Patri. And then I was supposed to say, and Lord, help us to pray as Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And all the people said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. We forgive those sins against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine be the glory, the power, and all that stuff forever. Amen. And the time came for the offering. The pastor prayed, and the choir sang, All things come of thee, O God, hand of thine own, give we unto thee. Amen. 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 Deacons met after the service that night. Old Harley Dunsworth, God bless him, he didn't like that stuff any more than I did. He said, he's on the deacon board, he said, Reverend Howells, what did you think about our services? I said, I hated them. I was candidating for the job. George Hughes Gay said, if you come here, what kind of services would you have? I said, it'd be an awful lot like a Billy Sunday revival campaign. Read the book of Acts. Find a worship service and let me see it. The word worship, I checked it one time. I went through every place in the Bible where the word worship is mentioned. It is only associated one time with any kind of public gathering. And that is of the devil. In Revelation, it talks about a public gathering where you're going to worship the Antichrist. Now, I'm not saying I don't think you should do things decently in order. I like music. I like good music. I like to sing good songs. I like to praise the Lord together. And I enjoy it. But this is not worship. Worship is when this man right here puts his arm around some drunk that stumbles into the rescue mission and says, I've got a nice warm suit of clothes for you. I want you to go upstairs and get a bath, and I'll give you some clean clothes. I'll give you a nice bed to sleep in. I'll give you three good meals a day. And I'll tell you the best story you ever heard in your life. That's what worship is. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is worship service. So take your sign down on Holman Avenue. Take your sign down. For instead of saying worship service, 11 o'clock Sunday morning, say huddle. 11 o'clock Sunday morning. Worship service Monday through Saturday in the fields where people need help. That's what the book of Romans says. Because of all these wonderful doctrines, of the first 11 chapters. I want you to do these things in the last chapters, last five chapters. 12, 13, 14, 15. 12, 13, 14, 15. Five chapters. What are these things called? Living sacrifice. Well, what is this living sacrifice? It's your reasonable service. What does that word reasonable mean? It means worship. These things are your worship services. I'm for going to church. I'm for behaving in church. I'm for preaching the Bible in church. But it's a huddle. Try to inspire you to go out there for the next play and beat the stuffings out of the devil's team. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, no deeper life, so-called theologian, will ever preach any more Bible truth than I preach tonight from this pulpit. I've preached New Testament Christianity from this pulpit tonight. May this church ever have worship services. Services of feeding the hungry, clothing the cold, lifting the fallen, preaching deliverance to the captives, praying for the sick, visiting the hospitals, going to the rest homes. May we have an abundance of worship services. That means we worship you by serving others. Yeah.